Welcome to How to Live Cancer-Free with Bill Henderson, best-selling author of three books on healing cancer successfully. Now, here's Bill Henderson.
Hello, folks. This is Bill Henderson with How to Live Cancer-Free. We're going to do a rerun of a previous show this week, which I think is one of the best interviews I've done. It's particularly good because this doctor that I'm interviewing is available for help over the telephone remotely. In other words, you don't have to travel to Portland, Oregon to take advantage of his knowledge and the people that work with him in the clinic in Portland. So I want you to listen to this one again. If you did not hear it, it was about 6 months ago in July of 2008 that I first did this show. I think it's very, very valuable to you, and that's why I wanted to do it again. So please stay tuned and listen to Dr. Dick Tom give you an introduction to how to heal cancer remotely. We have another interesting guest for you today, and I'll introduce him in just a minute. But first, I want to tell you just a little bit about who I am. If you're new to this show and to who Bill Henderson is, let me give you a website to go to where you can learn probably more than you want to know about me. This website is www.beatingcancergently.com. It's beatingcancer-gently.com. And what you'll find there, among other things, is a book that I published about a year ago. It's called Cancer Free, Your Guide to Gentle Non-Toxic Healing. And, of course, I also do telephone coaching with people who need that kind of help after they've read the book. Dr. Dick Tom, my guest today, is a wonderfully competent naturopathic doctor from Portland, Oregon. He has been in Portland for about the last 20 years dealing with hundreds of cancer patients. Before that, he was a dentist in Ottawa, and you might get a little something of his approach out of what happened to him in dentistry. He apparently got a little bit too interested in the dental amalgam issue, and the authorities in Canada were giving him a hard time. Sounds a little bit like the story of Dr. Hal Huggins, Colorado Springs, who is a dentist whose license has been taken away by the ADA because he was too visible on the issue of dental amalgam fillings, which the ADA's finally admitted they have a problem with, and the FDA as well. So this is the type of person Dr. Dick Tom is. He is now a professor at the National College of Natural Medicine in Portland and has lectured extensively on a variety of health topics all over the United States. He teaches, in fact, he told me on the weekends, a how-to business class for alternative medicine practitioners, telling them how to do a successful business. He himself works in a clinic in Portland with several other doctors who are trained by him, literally, and who believe as he does, and you'll find out shortly how that is. They treat people remotely by phone, and you can find the names and biographies of those doctors, including Dr. Tom, at a website, which I'll give you, and you can jot it down now. I want to make sure that you get this. It's www.bambooclinic.com. The bamboo is spelled B-A-M-B-U. Clinic, clinic.com, bamboo, B-A-M-B-U, clinic.com. Take a look at that. It has phone numbers for contacting them, and all of these naturopathic doctors, are all very well qualified, deal with people all over the world, literally on the telephone, and help you with things like cancer and other degenerative conditions of all kinds. So it's a very good resource, I think, for everyone here. So I want you today to have a treat, as I'm going to have, listening to a wonderfully qualified person named Dr. Dick Tom. Thank you, Dr. Tom, for spending the morning with us today.
My pleasure. I look forward to it.
Well, we're awfully glad to have you. I want to ask you kind of a leading question here. If I were a cancer patient and I were to call you and say, Dr. Tom, I've heard about you, and I have been to an oncologist. I've gotten a diagnosis, of something, of colon cancer, actually, and I need you to give me some advice about what I'm supposed to do. In other words, before I go for the conventional treatment, I'd like to know what you think I should do.
Well, one of the things that I think is important, first of all, before anybody undergoes any type of cancer treatment, is to have a much better understanding of what the condition is. So I think it's important that there's an educational process. Cancer is definitely a word that is associated with a lot of fear. So I spend a good part of the first visit really just educating people as to what cancer is and asking the patient what they think it is, and we try and come to almost a relationship before we get into options that are many that they can approach before they effectively see the oncologist or get caught into that system.
Yeah, very interesting. In 25 words or less, what is cancer?
Cancer is a disharmony in the body where cells have gone astray or awry, and they are taking over functions, and they don't listen to the other body functions, the way that the body tries to maintain a balance within itself.
Very good. I call it a temporary imbalance in your body's cellular metabolism, which sounds pretty much like what you just said.
imbalance. I think the key word is imbalance. The body has lost the ability to maintain the balance, and that is key.
Yeah, it's not some foreign invading substance or criminal like the oncologists seem to treat it, you know, where they have to attack it at all costs, including the cost of the life of the patient often. Okay, but let's say we can agree on a definition of what cancer is. How do you recommend we proceed then?
As far as the patient is concerned?
Yes. If I'm a patient now, and I need your help as far as what do I do now?
Well, one of the first things we have to look at is and have an understanding of is the lifestyle components that come along with this. And, of course, diet, I feel, is critical for every patient to be. We need to very critically look at what they're eating, because if we're going to supply the body with sufficient nutrients and the nutrition necessary to restore itself, we need to be finding out what you do eat. So one of the first things we do is sort of a nutritional analysis.
Okay, great. Gee whiz, I had never heard of that before. You mean diet can cause cancer?
Well, cancer, cause may be too strong a word, but there's a very strong relationship between the foods that we eat and the cells that get out of balance and then become cancer-like. Yes, very strong correlation.
Very interesting. Okay. And is there anything else that might have caused this problem that I have?
The other things that I have found to be almost universal is that when we continue our interview with the patient, there's almost and always is invariably some emotional event that seems to have been a trigger. And it may not have been, you know, just in the last week or so. It could have been many years ago in some cases, because I believe cancer isn't something that just occurs. I believe cancer is a very, very long-standing process, many 20, 30 years in some cases. So we help the patient to try and understand or find what that is, perhaps do some self-reflection on that opportunity, and because I believe that has to be dealt with. And so therefore, one of the things, in addition to reading materials, perhaps I'll ask who is your support person, and whether that's a priest, a minister, a rabbi, a best friend, a counselor. I think that they need to be part of the cancer team.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess I call it an advocate in my book. They need somebody. It might be their spouse, but if not, and it's often the family is conflicted about what to do, as you know.
Yep.
So it could be some outside person, as you mentioned, and that's a very good point. The emotional component, very interesting. It's a couple of different theories about it. A lot of writing about psychoneuroimmunology, as you know, a huge long word, which just means the mind-body effect. And then, of course, now he's published in English. Dr. Hammer, our famous German new medicine doctor, has published his findings in English. About 12,000 or so cancer patients that he's dealt with brain CT scans, where he can see the lesion and the location in the brain that corresponds with the organ that's affected. What do you think about that theory? Does it track with what you've seen?
Yes, in fact, I studied Dr. Hammer's work many years ago. I was introduced to that by, interesting, at the, way back when, by another dentist.
Oh, wow. Well,
who shared that with me, and I very much believe with his own personal experience and the experiences that I have found, because it's a very rare cancer patient that I don't find that there's the emotional aspect. And I also find that the patients who are, for whatever reason, unable to or don't feel that it's as important as I do, who don't deal with it, unfortunately, often don't have the very favorable outcome from the cancer.
Yeah, interesting. I've found the same thing. You also mentioned that you deal with elimination in general as a generic problem with cancer patients. Could you describe what that means in your terms?
I look at the, you know, we used the word earlier about balance and imbalance, and homeostasis is the sort of the medical term that we use. And there are four natural systems within the body that are natural. We call the natural eliminators. One is our lung, which of course we breathe out in, and it is the way that we actually remove the most waste products from our body, since we're breathing 10 to 12 to 15 times a minute.
Right.
People are very familiar with the kidney, of course, with the excretion of urine. People are familiar with the gastrointestinal system and the removal of fecal material. And then we have the skin, through which we get elimination of sweat.
Nice.
All these ways of excreting things are the natural excretory organs of the body. And I never have seen a cancer patient where all four of them are what we call 100% efficient. So that one of the first things, in addition to doing dietary work, we have to optimize to make sure that each of those four systems are effectively able to eliminate all the waste products, because cancer is a lot, there's a lot of detoxification that needs to take place.
Yeah, just for my own benefit, because I do work with a lot of people on the phone, how do you determine whether their elimination systems are working efficiently or not?
One of the easiest ways is simply by history. We'll do part of our intake form is to ask about those types of ways. We can do it with blood tests. There's a number of markers that we can use, electrolytes, for example, when we look at high carbon dioxide on CO2 levels on a chemistry screen. I almost invariably find that the person doesn't breathe very deeply. They have very shallow breathing.
Uh-huh.
And one of the treatments then becomes that they have to practice deep breathing, and we say a minimum of 100 deep conscious breaths daily. But with the cancer patients, it would be even higher than that.
I see. Interesting. Yeah, so if you're dealing with somebody remotely, as you do, then you have these tests done by some lab or somebody close to them. Is that right? And you get
that
the results.
Correct. If they have a family physician or an oncologist or whoever, many times they've already had these labs done, and then it's just require of seeing the lab test. They fax them to us, and we can review them that way.
I see. Okay, great. You mentioned also the immune system as being a component of the rise of cancer in any person's body. Could you elaborate on that just a little bit?
You know, the immune system is often felt about, you know, while many patients with cancer say, well, I have a strong immune system because I never get sick. And actually, I look up at that as a telltale warning sign, because I find one of the most dangerous patients is someone who's come in and they say, well, I haven't been sick in the last 5 years. And that, to me, means the immune system has not really had the opportunity to have any type of a tune-up. So I personally think getting a flu or a cold once a year is a good thing, because it's how the body does tune up.
I see.
The immune system, interestingly, is located in our gastrointestinal system, a great part of it. So one of the simplest things that I have all my cancer patients do is to take healthy probiotics.
Yeah, absolutely. Acidophilus, and do you have any particular brand that you favor in the probiotic area?
The ones that I have used for years are called HMF, a human microflora, and then there's a variety of, you know, different organisms within. Products within that particular line.
Oh, HMF, is that a brand name?
That's a brand name, yes.
Okay,
by two or three different companies. Microflora is what it stands for.
Microflora, okay. So they could look that up on Google or something and probably find it.
Yeah, they should be able to find that, correct.
Yeah, human microflora.
HMF, human microflora.
Very good. Okay, I'll take a look at that. That sounds like a very good resource. Okay, well, the machines, and I've been reading a little bit, I've read a book called Virtual Medicine by Dr. Keith Scott Mumby recently, and he does a pretty good job of summarizing the history of energy medicine and all the machines that have been used and so on. And I understand you've used some of these, like the EAV machine, which is electroacupuncture according to Vohl, gentleman named Reinhold Vohl, I guess, that discovered this. And then the Vega machine was one that's been around for quite a number of years. Scanar is another one that the Russians invented and so on. Do you use any of these? And if not, why not?
I used to use the Vega machine. I use it very extensively for many years. It gives us information that allows us to sort of on a energetic level that we can't get in other ways. I did that very extensively until I started doing a lot of lecturing about the techniques that I use in treating cancer and other chronically ill patients, and then found that if I was going to teach another practitioner how to, you know, use the different therapies, that I would have to figure out a way on my own to come up with the best therapies for any individual patient. So as a result of that, I started to rely on my intuition and then the knowledge that we can gather from our history and a lab test that can be supplied to us and that type of thing. And I've found my results to be quite effective doing that. And I coach and counsel many practitioners who do use the different types of machines with great effectiveness. So,
yeah, interesting. Well, I found, you know, what I've read at least, and I haven't obviously used them, but I've seen one use the Vega machine on my own wife, and he tried it on me as well. And so I understand somewhat how they work, but they obviously take a lot of skill to use properly. I know several of them do that I'm familiar with. And the skill, of course, is something that is difficult to pass on to other people, I presume. And particularly if you're dealing with people remotely, obviously it's pretty hard to rely on one of these as a diagnostic routine, I would guess. You know, is that why you got away?
Yeah, certainly with distance patients, it's impossible because they have to, you know, technically we have to be with, they have to be a sort of part of the unit, and you have to be in contact and using any type of machine. The patient needs to be there, so it doesn't work long distance for patients who show up in the clinic.
Yeah, right.
Be much of a possibility, but we have to, since we deal with many patients at a distance, the reliance, I couldn't totally rely on having machines, so I've used other techniques now also.
Great. Well, I need to take a short break here and talk about a couple of great sponsors that I have for this show who helped to pay the overhead, and I'm very grateful to them for doing that. One of them is a product called Transfer Point Beta-Glucan. I think I mentioned this to you earlier. It's a very effective immune-boosting product, and I've recommended several of them over the years to people, and different things like MGN3 and RM10 Ultra and so on. This seems to be superior to them because it's been tested in several universities against about three dozen other immune boosting products and found to be much more effective. This month in July, our listeners need to know that there is a special on for this product where they can either call a number, which I'll give you in just a minute, or they can go to a website, and they will not only get a special discount for my listeners, but they'll also get a $5 coupon to apply to their next order. And this is during the month of July. So give these people a jingle or go to the website. The website is called aboutbetaglucan.com. You need to put a /, and the word B-I-L-L, Bill, for me. And it's in small lowercase letters, Bill. No capital B, by the way. aboutbetaglucan.com/Bill, and you'll get the special price for which they've just put this website up for this month. And then, of course, you'll also get the ability to print out a coupon for $5 for your next order. If you prefer to call them, these folks are in Atlanta. The number is 1-800-746-7640. If you're outside the United States, try area code 678-560-1808. The other product I take every morning and I believe in as one of the things that's necessary to reverse the process that cancer does in your body is called Barley Power. And it's not a magic cure for cancer by any means. However, I do know people personally who have taken nothing else and overcome their cancer. So it's pretty effective in the sense that it does several things which are very, very useful to deal with cancer. One of those, of course, is to give you every enzyme in the human body, plus a big dose of alkalinity. It also happens to have all 20 amino acids and 72 trace minerals in it. But basically all it is the young barley leaves processed in a cold process manner, which retains everything that they have in them, into these little green pills that you take. And I take about 8 or 9 of them in the morning. Most cancer patients I work with try to work up to about 20 a day or so of these. And they find that the acidity that it associates with cancer goes away gradually. And over a period of a week or two, it comes up to an acceptable level. And of course, the cancer cells can't live in an alkaline environment and they die. So what this is a wonderful way to get rid of cancer cells, but also to reform your body's physiology. And fortunately, it does it in a relatively gentle fashion so that you don't get a huge problem with cancer cell die-off, or what's called lysing, as cancer cells try to exit your body. To get this product, just call an 800 number there in Pennsylvania, a beautiful spot in western Pennsylvania called New Wilmington. The number is 1-800-358-0777. If you're outside the United States, you can call them at area 724-946-9057. And also be sure to ask for their special price for cancer patients who listen to this show. Tell them I sent you, folks. Well, I'm interviewing a very interesting gentleman named Dr. Dick Tom from Portland, Oregon, who is a naturopathic doctor who has dealt with hundreds of cancer patients over the last 20 years or so that he's been practicing there. He is also a professor at the National College of Natural Medicine in Portland. And he, among other things, he teaches other alternative medicine practitioners how to run their business, which is, of course, a very useful function. Most of them need this kind of help because they haven't run a business before. And believe me, I have. I know what's involved. And we've been talking about the way that Dr. Tom deals with cancer patients, which includes remotely. And the other doctors in his clinic do the same thing. And they are trained by him and they are very, very competent doctors from what I can tell. I'd like to give you how to contact them. It's a website called www.bambooclinic.com. I'll spell the bamboo for you because it's unusual. B-A-M-B-U, clinic, C-L-I-N-I-C.com. And at that website, you'll find contact information for Dr. Tom and the other doctors who work with him. And, of course, there are biological information there on each of them, and you can contact any one of them. Dr. Tom's pretty busy. He's actually going on vacation, he told me, probably well-deserved, starting the 4th of July through about the 22nd. So he will not personally be available during that time period. But the other doctors he recommends as being very competent. So get a hold of them, and I think you'll find that they work well with you remotely. We were talking about the causes of cancer and how Dr. Tom, you send people to get tested, and right. Once you get the test back, what is the first thing you have them do?
Well, obviously, once we have the test results, I train the people that I train. I use a very much narrower range for optimum levels, and it gives us a sense internally of what the imbalance is. And then once we've identified certain of those, we will specifically treat it or start a treatment program. You just mentioned the idea of being alkalinized, because it's almost impossible to have cancer cells in an alkaline environment. So as you were mentioning, the barley product, we use greens. Diet-wise, minerals, I'm a very strong believer that minerals are extremely important in the diet. And so that comes back to making dietary suggestions and recommendations as a place to start.
Yeah, and some of these people continue on or have already been involved in conventional cancer treatment with chemo, radiation, surgery, et cetera. How do you handle that?
Very common in this country that is true. So we just continue on doing what we do. We, with the philosophy that we've been talking about so far today, we will continue on that. They often may continue the treatment. What I found is that as our treatments continue, the potential side effects from those therapies are much less dramatic, and the patients are much better able to tolerate the therapy.
Yeah, interesting. You know, there's a big controversy with oncologists about taking other things while they're doing chemotherapy because it might interfere. In particular, they always warn about, you know, don't take a lot of antioxidants, et cetera. What do you think about that theory? Is that true? People should avoid antioxidants?
I think it's unfortunate that the oncologists have say that, because there's many, many studies over years done by many fine physicians in all disciplines who have shown that the use of antioxidants concurrently with a standard treatment significantly reduces the potential harmful effects of chemotherapy or radiation or surgery, and patients tolerate the procedures a lot better. In my own personal experience, there is without doubt the patients who can take concurrent antioxidant therapies do much, much better, and even more significantly, there's a dramatically reduced risk of another type of cancer showing up several years down the road.
Yeah. What's your experience with recurrence of cancer of the people that you deal with, Dr. Tom?
If we can get the patient on board before they start any type of conventional treatment, and I would prefer up to 3 months, but I will be satisfied if they will just do the therapies we're recommending for a minimum of 1 month. In other words, they delay any conventional treatment for a minimum of 1 month, and they get these therapies on board. I've yet to see a recurrence in a patient, and I have to say that that's a pretty amazing statistic.
Boy, it certainly is. That's marvelous. What is, in your experience, what is the percentage of recurrence in people who let's say, do just conventional therapy?
Well, even the American Cancer Society published statistics like up to 40% of patients will have a recurrence of cancer within 5 years. And one of the unfortunate things about cancer and how cancer is reported is that it's all based on statistics. Of course, we have to use some type of objective measure. And, for example, I have a prostate cancer gentleman right now who in 2001 had a prostatectomy and didn't have any recurrence at all until 5 years and 4 months. He now has, unfortunately, metastatic disease to many parts of his body. However, if he is to die prematurely, and the way it's looking right now, that may happen, he will still be considered a cancer survivor.
Yeah.
And so the 5 years is a bit of a misnomer, and I believe cancer is a lifelong process. When
Absolutely.
You have cancer, we can't sort of give up after 5 years thinking, oh, it's safe now. It's really an ongoing thing.
Yeah, that statistic is just deliberately skewed in order to make it look better, that the conventional cancer treatment works better than it really does. If you think about it, if it is detected earlier as a general rule, and as prostate cancer often is now because more men get tests than used to, and women as well, obviously the five-year survival rate goes up because, you know, it was detected earlier than it would have been 20 years ago, so it looks like we're improving our treatment of cancer. But in fact, the only thing that matters, at least to me, is living out your normal lifespan without ever having to worry about cancer again as a problem. And that's my goal, and I'm sure it is yours too. Let's talk a minute, if we can, and I want to expand this a little bit because of your extensive knowledge and experience here, to talk a little bit about how, because of the politics of this year, et cetera, how the American system of medicine stacks up with, for example, the Canadian one, which you're very familiar with, at least you were, you know, 20 years ago, I'm sure you kept up with that. How do you think those two compare as far as effectiveness?
The one thing is that is can be said about the Canadian system is that if you have a catastrophic illness, such as cancer or you know, some other disease, nobody in Canada will go bankrupt because of a chronic illness.
Yeah, hear.
Unfortunately, in the United States, that's not the case, and it's reported that over 50% of the bankruptcies in the U.S. are literally due to a medical problem, and I think that's an extremely unfortunate statistic.
Yeah, and I think it's conservative, too. I think it's probably more than that, actually. It's just pathetic because people, they get insurance, and they think it's going to cover them, and then they get a serious disease like cancer, and, of course, the insurance either runs out, it won't cover everything, their co-payments go way up, or they have extremely expensive treatments, which are the part of the norm of treatment in this country because the machines are there and they have to be used, so they get used and they're very expensive. Right. But the bankruptcy problem of cancer patients here is incredible. I was talking to a lady last week, a naturopathic doctor from England, and of course, if you remember Sicko, when you get a prescription in England, you pay a standard price. I think it's something like £6.95 or something like that. It's around the equivalent of $12 or $13 in the United States for anything, right. No matter what it is or how many. You go to the pharmacy and pay the same price. Now think about that in terms of what we pay here, $200 to $300 a month in many cases for prescription medication, and you see how out of whack the American system is. How does the Canadian system compare in terms of prescription meds?
Unfortunately, it's very similar to the American system. There are some medications that are less expensive. And as we know, there was many Americans who a couple of years ago were going into Canada, especially the ones near Detroit or the ones near Vancouver, B.C., because of their proximity. But the government has tried to close off that loophole, and so Americans are not allowed to go into Canada to get that. But they're still very expensive. But as I said, you will not go bankrupt in Canada because of socialized medicine. But they, talking to some medical doctors, however, in Canada, at least in Alberta, where I had done some of my lecturing, one of the physicians referred to the Canadian system as now a supervised neglect. Because it takes so long to get to see a specialist.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, many patients with cancer from time of that there's having problems to diagnosing to see the oncologist, they may die in the meantime because they just really didn't get to see the doctor in time.
Yeah, interesting. And that's one of the major fears, I guess, of people here with this election coming up where, you know, the healthcare system is one of the big issues. And they're talking about a single-payer system, and people say, well, you know, at least we get to see the doctor here if we can afford it. But, again, 47 million people in this country are without health insurance, and they use the emergency rooms, and, of course, we all pay for that with our taxes and so on. So the system itself, in my opinion, here in this country is broken, primarily because of the pharmaceutical company's impact on our political system and the fact that they keep from restrictions on their pricing, particularly of pharmaceutical drugs and other procedures and so on, by paying off politicians. And they have a very, very strong lobbying group. I read something the other day. There are 1,235 full-time lobbyists for the pharmaceutical company in Washington, D.C. alone. In other words, approximately 2 per legislator, and they just cover them, blanket them every day with all kinds of propaganda and so on. It's about like they do with the doctors. But
One of the unfortunate things also about that is there was just a recent statistic that has come out that a number of businesses are leaving the United States simply because of health care costs. In fact, I just found out on Friday, the other day, that there's one of the manufacturing facilities, I don't know if it's Ford or Chevrolet, that's moving their facility to Canada because the cost to the healthcare worker in the U.S. plant was something like $2.38 per hour, and the cost in the Canadian system was 96 cents.
Yeah.
So okay. It costs thousands, if not millions of dollars to the industry. So we're having businesses leave the country because of healthcare costs.
Oh, I know. That is a major, major problem. And a lot of businesses basically are cutting back on people, closing down plants, closing down entirely, or moving to some foreign country if that's an option, just because of the healthcare costs. So obviously the system is broken. We spend something like 16% of our GDP on medical healthcare in this country, and we rank, as far as the quality of healthcare, I think the last figure I saw, we rank 32nd, according to the World Health Organization, as far as quality of our medical care. So we're paying a lot of money for a very poor system and bankrupting a lot of people unnecessarily. So there's got to be a better way, and we'll hopefully figure that out at some time in the next few years, because obviously the country's going down the tubes if we don't. Things are getting pretty grim. But at any rate, I do feel that your approach is very, very useful to people and very helpful. And I would like, if you would, for you to expand a little bit more on how they typically advance with your system, and how do you test whether they're making progress or not?
Okay. Well, certainly the first part of the system, as I mentioned, is sort of evaluating the raw data that we have. We put them on what I called and what I have coined the basic treatment guidelines, mm-hmm. Which involves the specific dietary things that we would find. I'm a very strong believer that essential fatty acids are one of the extremely important nutritional supplements that people need to do. We need to be rebuilding the healthy cells with the use of essential fatty acids.
Okay.
The probiotics that I mentioned, the HMF, the human microflora product, I look at how much fluid that they take in. The body is perceived to be between 65-70% water, so we need to assure, and water means not coffee or juice,
right,
or those types of things, but straight water.
Okay.
I believe that we need to be moving every day. We need to move our lymph system, so walking is a wonderful exercise.
Right.
I think sleep hygiene is important, getting to bed on time, trying to get a minimum of 7.5 to 8 hours of sleep is essential for the body to regenerate.
Very important. I know.
I think it's important. I use what I call hydrotherapy, which is basically the use of water or different types of treatments for the body. And a simple one is dry skin brushing.
Okay.
Where we use a loofah sponge or a natural sponge, and we very, very lightly just to gently stimulate the body, and especially in cancer patients, I think it's essential to do that.
Yeah, that the loofah sponge is one way. They also sell long handled brushes with natural bristles on them for that purpose, which are very useful. I heard about that from a lymphedema expert here in town, and I've been trying it on myself. Not daily, unfortunately. It's hard to develop these habits, is it not, and to break the old ones. That's one of the major things I found with the people I work with, and I try to make sure that they understand that the most important thing they need to do is look at the habits that have caused this and make sure that they are reversing those, however difficult that may be, and it's certainly not easy. Even just breaking the habit of eating sugar, for example, is extremely difficult. It's like, I guess, like some kind of drug habit almost.
One of the comments I often say, if you keep doing what you've always done, you'll keep getting what you've always
That's
got.
That's right. I love that. That's a very good comment. Well, I need to take another short break here and talk about my wonderful sponsors here. And they are great people, and I recommend them because I believe in them. I have had several people approach me to sponsor this show, Cancer Treatment Centers of America, for example, and I have refused them. I'm not going to knock them at all, but I don't believe in the approach they use to cancer, which is almost primarily the standard conventional approach with a little bit of alternative medicine thrown in. So I believe in the opposite approach, that a person should try at least the type of thing that Dr. Tom is talking about and which I recommend to people for at least a few weeks and see if it works. And one of the things they need to put into that regimen is called Barley Power. It's a wonderful product from Green Supreme Incorporated in Pennsylvania. And if you take these every day, primarily before you eat, because they have digestive enzymes in them, which help with your digestion, but 6 or 7 of these 3 times a day or so for a cancer patient will turn their body into an alkaline state, which is extremely important. Dr. Tom mentioned that earlier. They're also, all the enzymes in the human body, however many there are, I've heard it's somewhere around 3,000, but the barley plant has as close to every one of those as any natural substance in the world. And this is a form of barley that is very carefully preserved by being cold processed into these little green pills. So I very strongly suggest you do what I do every day, which is take these to help your body remain alkaline. And if you don't have cancer, of course, it's a good preventative. But if you do, you certainly need them very strongly. The number to call to get these is 1-800-358-0777. They do have a website, but they prefer you call so they can talk to you about what the various options are. They have several different kinds of the Barley Power pills, for example. If you're outside the United States, you can call area 724-946-9057. Be sure to ask for their special price for cancer patients and tell them Bill Henderson sent you. My other sponsor is called Transfer Point Beta Glucan. They are located in Columbia, South Carolina, and the company was started and is supported by an expert named A.J. Lanigan in the immune system and how it operates. And what he discovered some years ago is that the type of beta glucan that they have isolated for this product is uniquely activating in the body the neutrophil cells, which are about 60% of our immune system cells. Most of them, as Dr. Tom mentioned, are in the digestive system, in your gut, literally. And they get activated with a receptor for cancer cells, which they don't normally recognize. The neutrophil cells usually are going after fungi. But cancer cells get killed by these. They become something like the large macrophage cells, which are called the big eaters. They don't last very long. They have a half-life of somewhere between 12 and 24 hours, so they get replaced very often. But the daily dose of beta-glucan, which is very simple, by the way, I just take one a day to maintain my immune system, but if you have a cancer, you should probably take 3 or 4, depending on your body weight. This month, in July, the folks that sell this, they're called Better Way Health, and they are located in Atlanta, Georgia. They have a special on, and they're going to give you a discount, but they're also going to add a coupon for $5 for your next order on top of that. So go to the website. It's called aboutbetaglucan.com, about, A-B-O-U-T, beta, B-E-T-A, glucan, G-L-U-C-A-N.com, / Bill, B-I-L-L, lowercase, and you'll find the discount. If you'd prefer to call them, the number is 1-800-746-7640. Outside the United States, area 678-560-1808. And be sure and tell them I sent you, and they'll be delighted to have you. Good people there. Okay, Dr. Tom, I'm back, and I would like for you to give us some more of your advice about what a cancer patient should do to prevent recurrence. Let's assume, first of all, that I have either taken a lot of chemo and radiation, or I am going to do that because of the pressure of my oncologist or my family or whatever. So that in addition to what you do for me, I'm going to go ahead and do chemotherapy. How do the two fit together? Do you have problems with objections from oncologists and that type of thing?
A very good question. One of the most important things that we need to understand is when somebody is going to do chemotherapy or has done chemotherapy, that what we need to do, I mentioned earlier about the ways that the body eliminates our waste products, we need to truly optimize that. And many cancer patients that I've treated who've had chemo or who are having chemo end up with the aspect that there's a lot of toxicity in the cell, so we need to get rid of it. The things I mentioned earlier, the water and the sleep, And one other treatment that I do routinely is something that Edgar Cayce talked about, which are castor oil packs.
Oh, yeah.
Which are the flannel castor oil placed over the abdomen, which is, once again, stimulating and supporting the immune function, as well as facilitating the removal. So I say we need to give them specific therapies to protect their liver
and
strengthen their liver.
For those of you who don't know Edgar Cayce, I'll spell his name. You can look him up on Google. He was a wonderful intuitive healer back in the, 20s and 30s, I guess. But certainly an interesting gentleman. Spelled Edgar, E-D-G-A-R, Cayce, C-A-Y-C-E. Look up Edgar Cayce on Google and you'll find lots of references to him, and read a couple of his books. You'll find he is a wonderful intuitive healer, and was in those days. He's not with us anymore, but his findings are in various books, one of which was written by his son. Very, very interesting gentleman. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, Dr. Tom, but...
No, that's actually very good, because, I heard about castor oil packs by reading his material, and I found it to be, with cancer patients, pretty much one of the most essential components because of... And it's only castor oil, it's the only oil we can put on externally that accomplishes the results that we're looking for, which is this cleansing and detoxification. We'll call it, it's lightening the load, makes it easier for the body to eliminate, and... So another thing we have to assure is that there's no constipation in the patient
right. Who
is undergoing any of these types of treatments and whatever appropriate. I also feel that it's important that we take the patient. So I use energy therapies. Homeopathic remedies are very appropriate, but so are the antioxidants that we talked about. Protective, things that are protective, whether it's coenzyme Q10 or just vitamin C is something that's very important.
Yeah, COQ10, vitamin C, very important. Of course, vitamin C IV, is that something you do as an intravenous vitamin C, or do you refer people for that?
I refer people for IV vitamin C, and especially if we're working at a distance. Obviously, we couldn't be able to do that.
Sure.
But they are referred. But other antioxidants, alpha lipoic acid, I found to be helpful. Grape seed extract is a wonderful antioxidant protective for people.
Yeah.
Beta carotene, all the usual ones that can be very helpful.
Yeah, very interesting. So, the concern that people hear from their oncologist about antioxidants, I'll mention this one more time. Folks, you're going to get warned. Just be prepared, if you haven't been already, by your oncologist to be careful and don't take anything to interfere with your chemotherapy. And they may particularly mention antioxidants. Believe me, that is pure baloney, and you need to just nod your head and say, yes, doctor, and go on and take everything that Dr. Tom just mentioned and anything else you can think of that would help your body to deal with the toxic effect of chemotherapy, which is what antioxidants do. They basically reduce the side effects of the chemo. And as Dr. Tom mentioned earlier, the people he deals with, generally, they go to a group of people who are all taking chemotherapy, and his patients have all their hair, and everybody wonders why. Is that not true, Dr. Tom?
Yes, that's often the case. And unfortunately, in those cases, the oncologist often thinks that the therapy is not working and may want to increase the dosage of the chemotherapy. Thinking that it mustn't be very effective, but then when they do their follow-up scans, they find, to their surprise often, that the cancer is getting smaller or shrunk, or in some cases has totally disappeared, and they have a bit of a puzzled look on their face as to why that can be happening.
They use as one of the measures of effectiveness how much of your hair you've lost, I guess, right?
Right.
Goodness. Well, there is a better way, and we've fortunately, I think, are getting to a lot of people. I have found that more and more people are looking around with, of course, the internet as a resource. And as you know, there's a lot of junk there, but there is also a lot of good information. And people are doing their own research, talking to their doctors about it, and finding out that in most cases, and as far as nutrition and other things that we're talking about here, the doctor knows absolutely nothing. And in some cases they'll admit to it, but in others, of course, they will warn them, we don't think that's necessary, just eat a balanced diet and you'll be fine. And of course, if you've ever looked at what they feed patients, particularly cancer patients, in the hospital, as I have with my former wife, it just makes your hair stand on end. At the time, I didn't know any better, but they were feeding her ice cream and Jell-O and meatloaf and mashed potatoes. And I talked to the nutritionist, and they had one on the staff of the hospital, a nutritionist. And I said, is this what she's supposed to be eating? She said, oh, yeah, she's getting the standard cancer patient diet. Well, needless to say, she didn't survive that. But I find that people often have to take to their loved one in the hospital the food that they need to put in their mouth, literally. And this is not unusual. I've had people say that they are actually putting down the feeding tube of their loved one in the hospital, the smoothie that they've just made of cottage cheese and flaxseed oil and all the other good remedies.
Right.
Have you heard of that at all?
Absolutely. In fact, it's very common among my patients, as you just mentioned, that when they are in the hospital, the diet, that we often say that there's really not much there they can eat because of what they're being offered. And while it's a challenge to have to bring food in, that's really what needs to happen. And smoothies is a very effective way if indeed a feeding tube is in place, for sure. And we can make it a very potent nutritional drink that actually supplies you with nutrition as opposed to the calories that are mostly supplied by the foods that you just mentioned.
Right. Yeah, there are lots of these supplements that you mentioned, the antioxidants, COQ10, alpha-lipoic acid, et cetera, which can be dissolved perfectly easily into a smoothie. Some others, the beta-glucan I talked about earlier, the immune-boosting product, is designed to be insoluble and to get through the stomach and into the small intestine before it dissolves. So that wouldn't make a very good thing to dissolve in a smoothie. But most of these are adaptable to a smoothie atmosphere and would make a great nutritional drink for the person, whether they're taking it by mouth or by feeding tube or whatever. So think about your loved ones when they're in the hospital. Do not trust anyone to give them what they need. In fact, I recommend to people that someone, if possible, stay with the patient 24 hours a day and make sure they monitor what is being done to them, what they're being given, et cetera, because many, many deaths result from mistakes that are made in the hospital, things that are prescribed that shouldn't be, or things that are given by the nurse by mistake, et cetera, et cetera. So it's very important to keep your loved one in sight and the nurse and question everything that's being done to him or her, because believe me, it is a very dangerous place to be, the hospital. As much as you can avoid it, I would, folks. What do you think, Dr. Tom?
It's a two-edged sword. Obviously, the hospitals have life-saving therapies that are extremely important, especially for acute disease. Chronic disease is a different matter, and when there's an extended hospital stay, unfortunately, as you just mentioned, it's a very busy system. The faculty, the nurses, the support staff, as well as the physicians are often overworked, and mistakes can happen. We hope they don't, but unfortunately, statistics tell us that they do. And you're right, I highly support having a person there with them 24 hours a day is the preferable. If the hospital can facilitate that, if the person can have a cot in the room to sleep there, that certainly minimizes the potential of some mistakes and can optimize the experience by certainly nutritionally by getting these different nutrients into the person in the form of the antioxidants. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we're kind of running out of time. It's impossible, but we have used up almost the whole hour here. It just seems to pass so quickly. But I wanted to make sure that I give people your contact information again for your clinic, because it sounds to me like the people that you've trained there are wonderful resources for cancer patients, and they should probably take a look at this website. It's www.bambooclinic.com, and the bamboo is spelled unusually, B-A-M-B-U, clinic, C-L-I-N-I-C.com. And there you'll find the phone number for Dr. Tom's clinic, and he has trained the other people who work there, the other naturopaths, so they are as competent as he is or pretty close to it. They may not be totally as competent as he is, and his experience is broad and deep, with cancer, and I know he's passed that on to his compadres in the clinic there. So I would trust these people, and they can also probably give you referrals to other people to do things locally for you, like testing, for example, and maybe like IV vitamin C or other treatments that they may recommend that you can get from a local source. Dr. Tom, I want to thank you so much. I'd like to have you on again. It's obvious that you have an enormous amount of information for people, and I want to thank you so much for giving it to us today in this form, and we'll talk again, I'm sure. But in the meantime, have a great vacation.
Thank you very much. It's a real pleasure to share this information with your listening audience, because the more that they hear of this type of thing and the more that they know there are alternatives perhaps than what they've been informed about and know about, the better the entire healthcare system of the U.S. and Canada and the other countries will be enhanced for sure.
Yes, indeed. And I hope we can fix this sometime in the next 2 or 3 years, and we'll certainly pray for that. But in the meantime, keep up the great work, and you know, I know you've earned it. Have a great vacation, Doctor.
Thank you very much. It's much appreciated.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Yeah, bye-bye.
Okay, then. Bye-bye now.
Well, thank you, Dr. Tom. That was terrific, and I know people got a lot out of that, and I know that they will call your clinic and use your services, and thank you very much. Thank you for listening, folks, and we'll see you again next week, and we'll have another interesting guest for you.
Thanks for listening to How to Live Cancer-Free with Bill Henderson.